John Barry, the trainer of course on Mav, is on the line, and he's got a few words from Matty Stewart today as well. But before we get stuck into that, Coolside Mav, trained by John Barry, he joins us this morning. How are you, John?
Yeah, really good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, me old mate, how are you? I remember the great fun we had in the Jimmy Shoe days, and that, obviously those memories linger with you as well. And
don't be trying to crawl under a rock about now.
So has Matt Stewart's comments got across the Tasman over to New Zealand about what he said about your fellow earlier in the week?
Oh, look, only by the other 90% of the owners that are all Australians. Jesus, the old WhatsApp blew up pretty big time once it was said they were off to send a hunting party after out for him, to be fair.
I can't remember what I said, but I'm sure it was positive. Hey, one thing, John.
Oh, hang on, I'll remind you.
Oh, here it
comes. Let's have a listen.
Yes.
Have you got it, Cozzy?
Yeah, mate, we finally got it. We've got hold of it.
Here we are.
But at least in the context of an Australia-New Zealand situation, it is a recent Group 1 winner in New Zealand.
Did you just call it a hack?
It's probably a hack. In Cox Plate terms, it's a hack. Felgate said it first. Felgate said it first, John. And then I just said, excuse me, Michael, what did you say? The truth is being revealed. Hey, can I just ask, quickly moving on, this reminds me of the Jimmy Shoe Cox Plate a bit. That wasn't a vintage Cox Plate. It was pinker, rekindled interest. And this one feels a bit the same. Is call sign Mav similar in some way to Jimmy Shoe?
Nah, not at all. Like, Jimmy was, you know, he was five-time Group 1 winner before he got there. He'd won a Rose Hill Guineas. He'd won a Derby at home, you know. So just different. And Jimmy had come of age earlier. He raced as a two-year-old, won a Group 2, and champion, you know, three-year-old. This guy's just taken more time to mature, deliver and mould into a racehorse, but he's the finished article now.
John, at what stage were you thinking that we might have a crack at this Cox Plate?
Well, 10 years ago when I got beat, I kept looking at my stable trying to find the next one, so it's been 10 years looking at every horse walking through the gate. But with this fella, realistically, last year when he won his first Group 1, knowing that you had to win a Group 1, and you know, won the Tarzino last year, and you guys being great historian buffs by the look of it, with the New Zealand form, you'd know that four winners of the Tarzino have gone on to win a Cox Plate. So just a little mare called Sunline, another horse called Ocean Park, you know, Surfers Paradise. So it's not the worst form line. But he did that last year, and I sort of, you know, you dare to dream, but he was still unfinished article. So I said to the boys, let me do what I want all season. I'm just going to make him into a horse. And we slowly did all that. And then it was probably February. He ran two very good seconds to Advantage. But if you go back and look at the sectionals, you'll see they were very, very good. And they're the kind of sectionals that let me know, hey, I think you can foot it with the big boys in Aussie.
Mick Guerin put out on Twitter that you had a chat to him this morning on radio in New Zealand, and he said, look, I don't really want to lead. He may be a little bit vulnerable at the 2,000. That was before Zaki was scratched. Have you rethought plans? Do you think he is now the likely leader?
I've left it with Luke a bit. I sort of, obviously, yeah, spoke after. I just thought he is a bit better chasing. Like, his two Group 1 wins this season, he's got to the front. Well, not like the first one, he had to lead because they kicked up underneath him, you know, and if he didn't, he was going to be sitting three wide the trip. So we got there, but our problem's been in the home straight. He gets to the front and he pricks his ears, and Jonathan's yelling and screaming at him, and he still just, like, doesn't really, you know, focus. So I'd love to have had something to chase and or, you know, be head-to-head with you. And you'll get that today. It is a better class of horse. There is no denying that. But it's sort of up to Luke now whether one of the three-year-olds picks up or both of them go or something out of the ordinary. But, you know, if he wants to lead now, I guess that is an option. It's nice to have the option.
John, the Tiaka stable has injected a lot of quality into all the ranks in New Zealand. And I know there's probably not a lot of tie-in between Probabil and Callsign Mav, but there would be between some of those better Jamie Richards horses that always seem to come over here and do well. Is there a tie-in that our listeners can relate to with Callsign Mav through some more familiar New Zealand form lines, through the likes of Probabil or some of those bigger names that we've become accustomed to?
Yeah, I mean, probably Avantage as your best. A funny thing was I actually trained Probabil's mother to work at a stud, so there's a link there for you if you're grasping. It's cool.
Yeah, I like it. But, I like everything you say, John.
But look, you're right. You're dead right. Let's be honest about it. And the reason Mav's over there is he beat up what was left here. It was just unfortunate that Avantage got retired, Melodic Bell, Catalyst wasn't there. Look, we ran a good second 2 lengths behind Catalyst in the Hawke's Bay Guineas, and it was 7 lengths back to third in the field. So take some form from that if you want, you know, and we weren't the finished article as a 3-year-old. But yeah, you're grasping at straws. There's nothing really else that's gone, you know, from here across and done much. So you're just going to have to take me on trust on this one, boys.
Hey, John, at the Breakfast with the Best, Matty Stewart was telling us about your very colourful past and a different lifetime when you were one of the world's leading polo players and coaches, and you had a relationship with Kerry Packer and an interesting table tennis match. Can you tell us about that?
God, I haven't had to say that story for a long time. Yeah, it was back in the day. I was a player. I was a professional. I'd went to America and Argentina, but we were up at Alliston at his private club playing table tennis, and Packer was a good table tennis player, and we were whacking away there, and I had a match 18, and he looked at me, and I was only about 19 years old, and he said, "Son, do you think you're going to win?" And I said, "Yes, Mr. Packer, I believe I am." "So I got $1,000, says you won't." And I said, "Look, I can't afford that." I was getting paid about $50 a week at that time. I said, "I can't afford that bet. Sorry, Kerry." So he said, no, "I'll give you $1,000 if you win, nothing if you lose." I said, "Okay, I'll take that bet." Away we went anyway. Julie beat me 24-22. Put the bat down, looked at me and said, "Son, never worry about the money, just worry about winning." Walked off, would never play me again.
Hey, he was actually a little known fact as well. Kerry Packer was a very good golfer. He played with Greg Norman one day on a championship course and shot 76 off the stick.
Yeah, a very, very, very good sportsman. Like, he was obviously had some of the best horses in Australasia when he was playing polo, but he could hit the ball. He was a good sportsman, you know. He obviously had a very good eye.
What was the life as an international polo player like? Did that help you transition into training?
Is it as sexy as it sounds, John?
Nah, not really. It is very much like training. You're doing the long hours. You need good horses. You know, you've got to be able to talk a bit as well. But it was fun. I was young. You know, I was in my 20s when I was doing it. So it was, you know, a lot of fun. And the world was a simpler place as well with travel and everything. And America, it's just a great country to go to and be in. But it's, you know, the world's changed. And, you know, but the pressures are the same. You've got to win.
How do New Zealanders feel about Very Elegant? The story of Zed and the mountain ponies and throwing the leg over Clydesdale mares, which is a bizarre thought. The whole story of Very Elegant, her clumsiness and the fact that she just doesn't look like a champion. Is there a sense of pride in the quirkiness of the story of the champion Very Elegant over there?
Yeah, definitely. Look, I mean, you know, isn't it funny? You guys want to poo-poo our racing and even our breeding, but you've got three Kiwi-trained horses. Let's face it, Chris Waller's a Kiwi. You've got Corso Mare, Probabil, Mawanga's New Zealand bred, and she's there, you know. So a lot of Kiwi influence. Little known fact, I trained the first Group 1 winner for Zed, Very Elegant's father, a horse called Survive. Won the Tarzino. There you go.
Racing trivia nights, you're going to be the answer to about 20 questions.
Yeah.
On the Tarzino, anyway.
But look, you know, it is. We're only a small country and we bat well above our weight. You know, we know that. Well, let's not talk about the rugby and stuff like that or being current wicket.
We're losing you, John.
But, you know, it is a big sense of pride and well done to the breeding industry to have, you know, those four of the eight and a half the fields bred in this country, and God don't.
Well, without getting political about breeding, it's exposed the one-dimensional nature of our breeding now here, isn't it? You're filling a void that we can't fill. All our horses run fast, but they don't stick on, and you're still able to produce those horses at two or three a year that can come over and present in a race like this.
Yeah, that's right, and hopefully they keep coming back. The Aussies, you know, it's a long way to England to go and buy a so-called, you know, European stayer to try and win these races, but as you've seen, they... they do tend to fall apart a little bit when they get here and take on the, you know, the colonial racing. It's tough racing, you know. Let's face it, guys. It's hard. For me personally, the best of the best, the best racing in the world is Australia. Make no bones about it, you know. It's great to watch. Yes, the prize money's there, but it's just good jockeys, good horses, well run, you know. So it's tough. If you're fronting up there week in, week out with a horse, it's got to take its toll at times. So you've got to be a tough horse to survive in it.
And call sign Mav, he's going to stay here, John. Is he after today's race?
Yeah, it was always the plan, guys. No matter what happened, I just said, boys, just let me finish him as a horse. And he's done that. And we got the two wins, obviously, this season. And he was always coming. He was always staying. So, and you know, I hope to sign off today with the win. And then he's in Danny's care from there. I still keep a 10% ownership share. So I can ring Danny and you know, abuse him if he gets it wrong, I guess, from here on in. But,
have you tried that sort of phone call with Danny O'Brien?
Nah, not at all. Danny, I just want to say, Danny's been fantastic. Like, he's been at a stable, so I've just done everything and anything we wanted and asked for. He's been, honestly, really great in this day and age with phones and videos and all that. It's been very helpful. So, just, yeah, Danny and his staff have just been amazing. And look, we wouldn't be, you know, having a runner there today if not for, you know, for them helping us out.
John, we wish you all the best. Look forward to everything getting back to some normality. We'd love to get over to New Zealand and we'll get you and Matty to sit down and have a jar together as well.
Game of ping pong.
no worries, guys. And look, let's face it, if Mav does get up and win, Matty, I think they'll be serving a little bit of ice cream with that humble pie on Sunday.
Love
absolutely.
It. Absolutely. Good on you, John. Good luck today, mate.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.